You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
We're back here. We're back with Jim Casale. Jim is the founder of Casale Saltpeter. They specialize in helping mid-market companies monetize themselves. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, we've been talking a whole bunch of different things. And my real question is, we've seen a big run-up over the last 505 days in the stock market. Is that sustainable? It's really something that is reflective more of the way the country feels than economics, or is it?
Well, I'm not sure it's just how the country feels. Obviously, there's been a positive mood amongst business leaders. The government has cut regulations. The tax breaks have really made a material effect from a cash flow standpoint to public companies. You're seeing that with the earnings that came out first quarter. Since the economy is in good shape, companies are seeing very nice growth in terms of their cash flow, in terms of their profitability. So I think that the stock market is in pretty good shape right now. Now, there will be something that will change it. You know, we don't know what. Could be the tariffs and the trade wars that are going on with the way that our country is dealing with what we call our friends. I'm not sure everybody does, whether it's Canada, Mexico, Germany, England, France. It's a little scary because if we start with tariffs, they'll start with tariffs. And that will have a negative effect. And I believe it'll actually cost us jobs. And that will actually hurt the stock market at some point. And the market's been volatile, depending on what has come out of Washington. And that could be from the president, from some of the people around the president, some of his personal lawyers, some of his other lawyers. Who knows what's going to come out? But that's a little scary.
Well, yes, it is. And one of the reasons that the United States has always been the international investor's favorite location is because of stability. And now as the stability kind of weakens, are people actually looking at other markets as stable places to invest more so than the United States?
Well, it's stability and predictability. You know, I think what we have now, the country is stable. The economy is in good shape. We're doing well. But I think it's the predictability. You know, when companies are making decisions, do I go out and buy equipment? And they're relying on steel, and all of a sudden that steel, which is coming from out of the country for them to use on their products, may or may not be available. It may be available, but at a 25% increase, and they view they can only increase the cost of their goods by a lesser percentage. It's a concern. So, and it's the inconsistent policy. You know, if we knew what the policy was and it was consistent and it didn't change every day, then you can plan for that. What you can't plan for, and I think a lot of business people are concerned about, people who support the administration and support the president, they want to know what's going to happen tomorrow and be consistent. And that will have an effect. And at some point, that'll have an effect on the market.
So let's talk about other things. You know, we've talked a little bit about the impact of technology and technology impacting the jobs market. How about technology impacting the way that the financial markets work? Because you've got all this flash trading and all these other things, and it really works fast. It moves fast. It moves a lot. What's up with that?
Well, I'm someone who likes to go back to the old days when you went into this. You know, you went into New York, and you went into the New York Stock Exchange, and there were all these people yelling and screaming. And at the end of the day, you had to come in with a big, you know, broom and a garbage can to pick up all the paper. And they had nice, you know, little jackets on,
all different
the men
colors.
And the women, and it, you knew what it was. That's the old days. Today, you can sit on your boat somewhere in the Mediterranean and you can be trading billions of dollars, you know, through your laptop, and everything's wonderful. So it's obviously a lot faster than it's ever been. The information is quicker. The market is broader. And then there's been a big sea change from where people bought a lot of individual stocks. Today, it's being bought by mutual funds. It's being bought by ETFs and things of that nature. And that's a very different situation. And the hedge fund that's a fundamental purchaser that, you know, buys individual stocks, it's tough for them, especially in the market that we've had.
But it seems to me that that technology improvement that allows the person to do the currency trading and do $1 billion worth of bond trading and stock trading from their boat, well, that's what's driving a lot of the real estate here in South Florida and in other destination locations. And I got to also believe that the elimination of, or the mitigation of the property tax deduction is also driving people away from the historic industrial north and into more easy places to live?
It's more than just the real estate taxes that are bringing down people from states like New York and Connecticut, New Jersey into Florida. It's the income tax. I mean, we're blessed here in Florida not to have an income tax. In New Jersey, they not only have an estate tax, but they have an inheritance tax. So they get it on both sides. It's one of the few states that has that. Some states have inheritance, some have the other. So, you know, Florida has been fortunate that because of that, we've got many people who are saying, you know, I don't have to live in New York anymore, or I can go to New York 6 or 8 or 10 weeks a year and I can live in Florida. And it's a very comfortable place to be as long as you don't, you know, stay up at night thinking about global warming and the net effect of the rising seas.
It's only gone up 5 inches in the last few years. We got plenty of room to go. I know guys that are just going to build another floor in their building, and it's going to be okay.
They're going to be waterfront on the second floor.
Such a deal.
Canoe. You just dock it to the balcony.
Such a deal. It's waterfront amenities all around. So, Jim, we've only got a couple of minutes here left, and I want to kind of go back to some of the things that we talked about earlier. We may have some people that have just tuned in. You mentioned full employment and the impact on the economy. Let's talk a little bit more about the difficulty people are having hiring the right people right now.
Well, you know, I think one of the challenges, and I've talked to people, is sometimes you just have to hire younger with less experience than you want, and you have to bring them in and train them, which means you have to make an investment. A lot of businesses the last few years have not been willing to make that training investment, but, you know, they couldn't. The economy was not in great shape. But today, to get talent, if you know, it's great if you're coming out of college today. You know, you got a good education, you get that first job, and if you can get an employer who's willing to really help you and train you and bring you to that, get you that experience quicker.
Well, I agree with you completely. I mean, I'm in the real estate business, and I always tell the young people that the real estate business is a mentorship business. But I think the business of life is a mentorship business. And the most important thing that you can get out of college, or get when you're coming out of college, is a first or second job with somebody that's going to take you under the wing and help you get your foot in the door. I would have to believe that you'll respond with sticking with that company, growing, and perhaps they'll select you to lead the company someday. And that's still the way to go.
But there's been a change with young people with that. You know, years ago, if someone was 35 years old and you saw on their resume 3 or 4 jobs, you were very concerned about what was wrong with them. Today, when you see someone who's 32 who's been out of college for 10 years, it's not unusual to see 4 jobs on their resume and you don't think anything of it because they're very willing to move. They move up, they look for startups, they go other places, they go with big companies, small. They're absolutely willing to make those moves where years ago, you wouldn't have touched someone like that.
Yeah, but things evolve. I remember when I was afraid to wear brown shoes. Now I wear brown shoes. I was who are you? What's your identity? You can only do one thing. Now I carry 3 business cards and do like 5 or 6 different things. So I got to believe that the technology really allows you to do those things and helps you be more productive. And that's what it's all about.
It is. And, you know, and the young people coming out today are so much better trained from a technology standpoint. You know, some of us had to learn, when we came out of school, there was no technology, or the technology was an IBM 360, the ones you saw in the movies with the reel-to-reels and things of that nature.
Hey, I remember when you fed them cards.
Yes, card to tape back in the day. But, you know, that's changed. So you're getting really well-educated kids, very well-trained from a technology standpoint, and they're looking to advance and they don't want to be held back.
So then it sounds to me like the best company is something that's sort of like a person. It's living, it's breathing, it's evolving, it's changing. And that's sort of where you guys come in, isn't it?
It is. You know, we get involved with companies like that and then help them maybe raise capital to grow. We help them when they're ready to recap. But it's very important to find good companies with good people. And to a lot of companies, when you're selling companies, the biggest asset, notwithstanding you might be in manufacturing or technology, is really the people, because the companies don't run themselves alone.
Yeah, I remember when my wife's company, her local company she was working with, got purchased, they fired everybody except one person, my wife. Why? She was the top salesperson for years and years and years, and there was no way that they could replace her with a call center.
Well, it's interesting because in today's economy, with the unemployment and, you know, where it is, if a company wants to buy another company and one of the synergies is to eliminate headcount, they're not doing it as much as they were because they can't. And if they do, most of those people can easily find jobs today. It's not when the economy is bad and all of a sudden 50 jobs were lost, there were 50 unemployed people for an extended period of time. They're probably, if they're good people, they'll have a job, you know, before the door is shut. or the ink dries.
Yeah, well, I think that the most important thing in today's world where folks are looking for jobs is, or where they're at or where they're unhappy, is to match up where their head is at with their job. And the most important thing there, I think, is values. What do you talk about to the leaders of the company about the values and the system that they have in place and the ability to attract and retain employees there?
Well, we've talked recently, and I wrote an article recently about the Me Too issue, because that's affecting middle market businesses as well as big businesses. And it really is more than just the Me Too. It's the sensitivity towards all of your employees, treating them with dignity and respect and, you know, equality, whether it's male or female, you know, or anything else, any minority or what have you. You've got to treat everybody equally. And when I say treat everybody, you got to treat everybody decently equally. Because as one person jokingly said, I treat everybody equally. I treat them all the same, which was not good in his particular case. So it's got to be, and people won't stand for that today. And they don't have to stand for that. They can leave. So that's certainly something that's very important. And then doing the right thing with people. You know, if you compensate them properly, if you communicate with them properly, if you give them opportunity, you know, some people want to grow and build. There are other people who are very happy in a certain slot at a company. And, you know, you don't try to move them out of that. They're doing really well. They're a role player. You know, it's like a baseball team. There are some people who are going to be the home run hitters. But you need some people who are just role players, who are just journeymen, who every day they block and they tackle and they do their job. So, you know, finding the right people, putting them in the right, and helping them out. They have a family problem, helping out that family member. I'm always impressed walking through a factory when a CEO knows everybody on the factory floor and then talks about their wives and their kids and has helped them and whatever else.
Yeah, you know, I got to believe that the number one person to work for is the person that cares about you. It seems to me, you know, I talk about it a lot. We have Bruce on the show. We talk about it's all about them. I got to believe that that's the same way that the owner of a business has to operate.
The good owners do that. The good owners are not narcissistic. They're out there looking to help their people, to make their people better, to better educate them. It's just so important.
Jim, I want to thank you so much for coming out today. Your information's always spot on. It always helps us deal with the economy. And I got to tell you, it always helps frame things just right for me. I want to thank you for being on. I'm looking forward to the next time you're on.
Thank you very much, Jim.